Okay, we're recording Obadiah, starting with all of one perek. So we are, I have to give a little background to this. He doesn't tell us where he's from or what king rules at his time, unlike Amos and Hoshea. And we just have to be able to determine from his content who he is. Now, Chazal say that he's the Obadiahu in Melachim Beis, the beginning of Melachim Beis, who would be a student of Eliyahu. In fact, it's very commonly found in Chazal, Gemaras, Midrashim, that they are the same, and that he was the one hiding the prophets in a cave, and he was called Yireas Hashem, in one place, Yireas Hashem Ma'od, and he's known as a Kanoi, like his Rebbe Eliyahu, and he's also considered a convert. Mostly the convert from Edom, and that's why he spoke against Edom. He knew about their, he knew what they were, and probably this attribution would. The problem is the internal nature of the sefer. It's not necessarily anachronistic for a contemporary of Eliyahu to concentrate on Edom. But they weren't the main enemy at the time. But if he is that long before Yirmiyahu, who spoke about the fall of Edom also, it could lead to a problem. I'm sure Chazal were aware of it. It's a Gemara also on Daf Pei Tes in the Sechas Sanhedrin, that Ovadia, the entire Sefer, and Yirmiyahu Mem Tes are very similar. Now, Yirmiyahu, from chapter 46 to 51, tells what's going to happen to a host of nations in the future. He starts with Egypt, he goes to the Plishtim, and Tsor, and Ammon, and Moab. And when he gets to Edom, he said, all right, where can I get information about the fall of Edom? Oh, I'll just take Obadiah. Right?
You mean because his words are almost verbatim?
If you open up Perek Memphis of Yirmiyahu, and I'll read Obadiah, you're going to say,
it's almost the same thing.
Yeah. I'm not saying the entire book is in Yirmiyahu
right.
Memtes, but
right.
It's clear that one is has the other.
Ovadiah is only
one parak.
21 psukim. Yeah.
Right. So that Yirmiyahu's treatment of Edom is a similar amount of psukim, and they're very similar. It doesn't mean that they're necessarily contemporaries, but it. For someone to pick on Dafkan Edom at the time of Eliyahu, it doesn't make much sense. You should pick on Aram. You should pick on the fall of a nation that's given us a problem. At the time of Eliyahu, Edom was still pretty much under our grip, although they were certainly starting to loosen that grip. There's no question. But to say that it's sort of like someone writing a book today. If you wanted to write the fall of an enemy, so you can write about Iran, maybe Egypt, maybe even but to pick on Bahrain, what I'm saying, it's really what it's almost tantamount to that. Right. So, all right, I place it before you. There is a sefer by Reuven Margolios called Hamikra V'Hamsorah. I have it here, and he mentions a very interesting thing is that you see a lot of Tanakh characters have names that end with Vav, like Ovadiahu, that's his name in Malachim, Yirmiyahu, right? And a lot of Tanakh characters that have names that end without the Vav, right? Like Ovadia. And his claim is that while this is not certainly not universal, but most of the people who are born in the time of Malachim have the Vav, Yishayahu, Yirmiyahu.
But don't they also
born
have
later that lived through the Korban, their name is.
But aren't they also Yirmiyahu is also called Yirmiyah? Never? Never in the Navi?
No, there are Yirmiyahs in Tanakh.
But never in the Navi is Yirmiyahu referred to as Yirmiyah.
In Shas, they're all Yirmiyah.
And Yishayahu?
It's always Yishayahu.
Really?
Yishayahu.
Oh.
Yeah. And he brings one interesting proof, is that the one time that Eliyahu HaNavi is mentioned by a Tanakh character who lives after the Korban, his name is Eliyah. Inenuchi Shalech Lachem Ace Eliyah Hanavi. He's not Eliyah, he's Eliyah. Right? And he Magolius points to a Gemara in Erevin that says that Vav specifically says Vav's dropped out of the name, the Vav of Yudke Vavke or something, or Vav's dropped out of names because of the Chorba. And he shows that it really quite fits. So Avadyahu is living earlier, Avadyah is living later. The content seems to put him as a prophet later than Yirmiyahu. The two of them probably knew each other. The two of them probably shared notes about what would happen to Edom. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that Ein Shnei Neviim Nibim Misignon Echad. No two Neviim say exactly the same, because they are different. It's not exactly the same, right? But there's no question that
great similarity.
The similarities are too similar, right? Okay, so with that being said, let's I will assume like Reuven Margolios that this book is around the time of the Chorban, where Edom was a vicious enemy. They joined Bavel, and it's quite mentioned in quite a few places in Tanakh. Bas Edom Hashduda, you know, in Tehillim, right? Ashrei Sheishalem Es Mleich Shekmaltalanu. And all right, so Rashi there admittedly says that that's referring to Rome. That's not the pshat. Plus, what about this pasuk? Sisi b'simchi bas Edom yosheves eretz utz. It's a pasuk in Eicha, where Yirmiyahu is complaining about Edom's glee over the and joining Bavel. Okay, I mean, look, strategically speaking, historically speaking, it's understandable. If Edom has been under our grip for a few hundred years, as soon as someone comes to fight us, then of course they'd expect them to join. Well, you know. I mean, geopolitical expectation, I imagine. The enemy of your enemy becomes your friend.
What nation was, did you say he was a Ger from?
Chazal say he was Ger from Edom. In fact, look at the first Rashi.
Well, it would make
sense.
Well, I could see then, because he must have been accused of being a traitor or going over to the other side, or quisling, or going over to the other side. So it makes sense that he would prophesy about, you know, the nation, about, well, you know, this is what you can expect.
Okay. All right, so Kol Amar Hashem Elokim Le'edom. Shmua Shamanu Me'is Hashem. Now, so what is Shmua Shamanu Me'is Hashem? It's Hashem talking, isn't it?
I'm sorry.
Where are you reading from?
Huh?
The beginning of the paragraph.
Of Avadja.
Right.
Oh, I see.
We heard this, Shmua Shamanu. Now, he's implying that there are a number of Nevi'im at the same time. Myself, Yirmiyahu, Tzfanya, Hulda. We have heard this. The word has come out to those in the know that Tzir here means Tzir means a prophet. Right? Maybe here there's Ezra with a poem about Tzir.
Yeah.
Tzir, Tzur, Tzara, Tzur, referring to Moshe. Have you heard this poem?
No. In Ezra? Okay.
Ibn Ezra wrote a poem about Moshe the Tzir.
Oh, he usually uses a lot of
maybe etymologically connected to the word seer.
Yeah, and not puns, but he uses like words like yeah, you say, sure, connected, right. And
okay, but Tzir Bagayim Shulach. A Tzir has been sent amongst the nations. Kumu v'nakumu aleha l'milchama. Let's all rise up against Edom to battle. Now, is this a prophecy for the immediate future or the distant future? So, take a look at Ibn Ezra for a moment. Lo yadanu doro, lo nuchal lomar ki hu anizkor b'sefer Malachim. Yimei Achav, ki shom kasu ve'ovadyo hayo yireyes Hashem. He's wrong, it says ve'ovadyo hu. You should spell the name properly. Do you have a missing vav in your Ibn Ezra?
Yeah, that'd be a question. Yeah.
From what word?
Margolius wants to prove that the ovadyo hu and ovadyo are going to be two different people. Okay, ovadyo hayo yireyes Hashem, ve'ilu hayo zeh ha'navi ba'asmo.
You do not have a vav in yours, right?
Eichi kureenu yirei Hashem, ve'lo yikureenu navi. You get the point? It says if this Ovadia is the same as that Ovadiyahu, it wouldn't have said that Ovadiyahu was Yireyes Hashem. It would have said Ovadiyahu is a Novi.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. My indication there is that of course he's a Novi. He's teaching Neviim. He's hiding them in a cave.
Yes.
And he's teaching them.
Yes.
Ulfi dati ki shmu shamanu zeh Novi biYirmiyah biYeshaya vaAmos. Shisnabo aledom alkenam arshamanu. He's saying that he is even after Yirmiyahu. Right? That's what he's saying. Shmur shamanu. We have heard all kinds of words about Edom from previous prophets. Shayahu spoke of the fall of Edom. Amos spoke. He should have mentioned Yechezkel also. Unless he just thinks that Yechezkel is after him. Yechezkel also speaks of the fall of Edom. Right? Right, got it? Right, so obviously, according to Ibn Ezra, Ovadia is even later than Yirmiyahu. Ovadia took Yirmiyahu's work. Okay. Hinei katon, let's get into the topic of the book. I have made you to be the smallest and the most despicable of all the nations. In what way? So Rashi writes, this is really...
I have made you, Yisrael, the smallest.
I've been reading this yesterday in Dibrei Yamim. But it's in Parshas Vayishlach.
Oh.
Parshas Vayishlach lists the number of kings from Edom. None of them are the son of the previous king. Take a look at Rashi. Bazui, Shelo hayu mamidim melech ben melech. In today's world, you can think of a despotic nation like Syria, where the son automatically rules after the father.
Yes, that's right. It's almost the definition of a despotic nation is
today.
Today, and those are the very worst. North Korea. Syria.
That hasn't been true of China or Russia.
Right.
Soviet Union.
Right. Because they didn't have, but they did. What was the other one? There's another one. Syria, North Korea. Which of course is different than these monarchies, which their constitutions, they're democratic, so they don't.
Right. But in the time of Tanakh. It was a sign of a roguish nation.
Oh, well, certainly would have been true about Iraq, like Saddam Hussein.
He was
grooming his evil sons to his horribly.
So, that's how evil they were.
Yes.
So in the time of Tanakh, in our kingdom, at the end of the Malchus Yisrael, also they were not appointing sons of kings. They were assassinating kings. You become king by assassinating the king before you. Right? So that's how Rashi says, Bozui atamo. Zidon libcho hishiecho, shochni b'chag ve'sela merom shivto. Omer b'libo mi yoridaini oritz. Zidon libcho, you know, like the word zadon, like mezid. In fact, cook is by Yozed Yaakov Nazid because you have to cook up a plan to do something, you know, something amazing.
Uh-huh.
Based on the same. But the Targum just reads, Resha Libach, evil of your heart, Hishiecha, like Ha'isha Hishiani Va'ochel. Right? Hishiecha, meaning that you, historically, you did things, you took sides that were foolish. Right? And he says, "Shochni b'chagvei sela." Now that's hard to usually that's a terminology used in Tanakh a few times for snakes.
B'chagvei.
He's
Chagvei.
Chagvei Sela
would be
are
the under the rock?
Between rocks.
Oh, amongst the rocks.
Maybe a cleft.
Huh?
A cleft between the rocks.
Yeah, the cleft, yeah.
And so.
Cleft of the rocks.
Okay. So, Merom Shivto, he went to the heights. He was ascended the heights. He said, let me attach myself to a lion, to the king of Bavel. Right? Right? And you would say, who can take me down? Rabbi Yosef Kara writes, V'Kadosh Baruch Hu, M'shivcha shelo tinatzel mimerom shivtecha. And you said, mi yoridani oretz, who can take me down? These are similar terminologies you find by Ashur and Yeshayahu. Right? Im tagbia kanesher, v'im ben kochavim simkinecha, mishom aritchonim Hashem. Even if you would go higher than an eagle can fly, and even bring your nest, since he talks about birds, nest amongst the stars, I'll take you down from there. No matter how high you try to ascend, I'll take you down. Im ganavim ba'ulacha, im shodidei laila, eich nidmesa. Halo yignavu dayam. If robbers would come at night, where they tend to have, you know, the people are sleeping, so they come with intention to possibly kill if someone makes a stand. Eich nidmesa. How have you continue to sleep, and they stole everything, they wiped you out clean. In botrim ba'ulach, halo yashiru olelos. If grape pickers would come to pick your grapes, wouldn't they leave the unripe ones first? What is that a hint to?
Yeah.
That they killed you, they killed all the men, women, and children.
Uh-huh.
Now, the fact is, we have such a mitzvah for Amalek, you know, it is...
To get all of them.
Yeah.
But it's saying, leave the weak, leave the children, leave the women.
But they started first, they went to our weak lines, and Anachasholim. What is the reason why when conquering a place like this, usually they just wipe everyone out? Because they don't want the children to grow up and then say, take revenge.
What
they did to your parents,
yes.
And they'll take revenge
yes.
on you.
Yes.
So let's just wipe out any vengeance,
yes.
possible future vengeance.
Yes.
Right. Take it.
I'll turn it off.
Now,
I'm sorry.
Nevu, according to Targum, is the same word. You see, it galion. It means they're parallel. How have you been revealed? People have found you. They have revealed your hiding places. Matzpunov can be your treasuries, like Tzafun, Matmonim. Everything that you've tried to hide and protect yourself has been revealed and opened. Now some of Farshim try to find specific things that Edom did to this. Now I'll tell you that some of Farshim, like Abarbanel, are of the opinion that these are all futuristic issues. These are all things that Edom is going to do. One has to when completing this book. One has to figure how Edom became Christianity and Roman Christianity, because it's genealogically simply untenable. Edom certainly was not such a powerful nation that all of a sudden became the kingdom of Rome. Impossible. In fact, we know what happened to Edom. There were Idumean slaves who were all forcibly converted to Judaism. A few remaining ones. No genealogically trait to say that those converted slaves became Rome. Rome was a great power by the time that happened.
Right.
It happened during the time of Herod.
Yeah.
That's the way history records it. So we might not be too distant to just say that since in some prophecies, especially Yeshayahu, Edom is sort of our last enemy. that mean? You know, assuming that, that prophecy is talking about the end of days, so it's got to be the biggest enemy. Right? But comes other Mephoshim that say, no, Masot Duma, Masot Ba'arav, Ozo Yisheo, is our last enemy.
Well,
Arav sounds like Arabs.
Correspond more to our reality.
Pick your friends and pick your enemies, you know. But that's good. You're going to have to struggle with that for how correct it is genealogically to say. I don't know if it's correct to say Ishmael is the Muslims today. It might be more correct to say something like Hagrim or Barav, the Arabs, or descendants of Hagar, Keturah, or something like that. But there are, especially in Divrei Hayamim, a lot of battles fought with Hagriim.
Does he explain what they did that was so bad? Because so far we just have the punishment.
We're going to start with that tomorrow because of 7:30. So he's saying that we'll start with Pasuk Zion. Basically, what Yovadi will talk about is that he's always joining others gleefully to put us to an end. Speaks with great assurances about certain days that are coming upon Edom. We'll talk about that tomorrow.